Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the 3-1. Chopper along first. That's a fair ball, and that's a game ender. Red Sox win it. They come from behind to win this ball game 13-7, and they have won 5 in a row heading into a day off on Monday.
No, that's a fact, McCarthy. It's not just an opinion for me. They've won 5 straight. Why are you so dismissive? You know, dare I say angry?
Because it's too little too late, Mike. I mean, they've got 35 games to play. They're 6.5 out. They've got 2 teams to jump, not 1 team, 2 teams. I mean, why should I act like this is, you know, something great that the Red Sox are doing right now? This is what they should have been doing all year long. They have the talent. You've been saying it all year, and you're right about that. They have the talent. So, of course, you should be angry about the 2019 Red Sox. They've been a massive disappointment, and now all of a sudden they win 5 games when they're essentially totally out of it, and I'm supposed to go, this is great. No, why would I do that?
Because Felger wants you to, because he still believes.
I'm not asking. I'm just saying, why does it make you angry? I say, what does the 5-game winning streak mean? And Murray says, I'm frankly offended you even asked me this.
I am.
It gave me the sting. What does that mean, it gave me the sting?
I read your email this morning, and I saw that question.
But what does that mean, it gives me the sting?
It made me mad, that inner sting. Like, I was like, oh, F off. You're asking this question like, ooh, the 5-game winning streak for the Red Sox. Can we agree, for a wild card, wild card contenders need, 92 wins to lock up on the wild card spots? The Red Sox, to reach 92 wins, would have to go 25-11 the rest of the way. You think that's happening?
And
get out of here with this team.
Yeah, they need the A's to fall apart and the Rays to fall apart. Come on.
Okay, so why I would ask is that I'm a talk show host and they're one of the 4 teams that we cover and they've just won 5 straight. And
all right.
I mean, that's why.
I know.
That's why. It's a story. I'm sorry. It's a story. It's a story.
They've been 18-18 since the All-Star break. They're not winning 25 games in August and September. They'll be lucky if they finish at 500.
How do you feel, people? 617-779-0985. Back to your thoughts on that. The Red Sox, Chris Sale, Josh Gordon, all of it with you. Alex in Gloucester. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Felger, you sound like such a crybaby when you complain about how Belichick handles the media. And I mean, he's been doing it for how long? Do you really think he's going to change? And furthermore, as a fan, I don't care how he treats the media. What do you want him to do, play tiddlywinks with them? I mean, come on.
Okay, Alex, thanks for the call. I have no response other than I've had that exchange maybe 1,000 times over the last 20 years. You know how many times we've had that sort of back and forth? Like, how long that thing exists?
For the last 20 years. But
There's just such an easy way for Bill to handle it as a human being. He doesn't. He basically spits at the people in front of him in Foxborough. Someone like me will say, why does he have to be such a prick about it? But it really doesn't matter. And then the caller says, why are you crying over Bill? He doesn't owe me anything. Like, how many times, that exchange right there, how many times have we had it in the last 20 years?
Thousands.
Oh, my God. All the time. You could just, record the whole arc and just replay it. So you're where you're at. I'm where I'm at. I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't bother me anymore. I mean, I'm not down there. It's not like he's doing that to me.
Yeah, and I don't want him to be a corny goofball like Pete or even trying to, do bits like Parcells used to be. But in a case like this with Josh Gordon, can you at least give a little something?
No. I'm not asking him to give anything. And that's not I'm not asking for anything. I'm just commentating. I'm telling you what my opinion is on how he sounds on a day like this. I definitely don't need information. He doesn't owe us that information. The only thing that strikes me is that he just can't handle it better. Like, he just doesn't. But after 20 years, I get it. He doesn't have it in him. He doesn't have that thing that you can just sort of, you know, just say, guys, I'm not going to answer it. He hasn't been here. I hope you understand that. Like, I mean, that's all he has to say with that tone, but he can't, you know, he just can't bring himself to do it. So he does it. I remark on it. And the Patriots fans go, well, he doesn't owe you anything. No, I got it. He doesn't owe us anything. Yep. We've been down this road. Khalil and Methuen on the Red Sox. Do you think the Chris Sale injury impacts Mookie Betts?
Actually, I do, because just like you said, since he's going to be down for most of next year going forward, do you think that would impact Mookie Betts's, I would say,
so these guys
getting traded? So since Devers is having an amazing year, do you think Betts get traded for some good pitchers next year, and then that money gets saved for Devers down the road?
Okay, so these guys are big on, if the Sale injury is what we think it is, a Tommy John, see you later, see you in the spring training of 2021, that exacerbates or, you know, sort of heightens the need to trade Mookie Betts. Explain yourself.
It heightens the need for the Red Sox to get cost-controlled young pitching, which they have failed to develop for the last 10 years. Because, all right, let's say Chris Sale's done for the next year. Mike, your rotation is David Price at 35 years old, Nathan Eovaldi, who can't stay healthy, and Eduardo Rodriguez. After that, you have nobody in the system that you can bring up. You don't want to go out and spend another $30 million on a starting pitcher on the market. You don't want to go out and bring in the next Andrew Kashner. You need young, cost-controlled pitching to develop for not only yet next year, but also for the future as well. That increases the odds, I think, that Mookie Betts gets traded, and it increases for my desire for the Red Sox to trade Mookie Betts for young, cost-controlled pitching.
And just quickly, I think from an offensive standpoint, kind of what the caller was saying, the years you've gotten out of, well, now for 2 years straight with Bogart, so you see their sustainability there. And this is after he got his contract. And Rafael Devers looks like a stud. I don't know. It almost makes, to me, from an offensive standpoint, it makes Mookie Betts a little bit more expendable. And that's why, one of the other reasons you got to move on from him.
I'm fine with moving on from him if you get something. I mean, if you trade offense for pitching,
yep,
and the pitching helps you next year, okay, fine. I just don't want to be punting on seasons or having sort of, retooling, rebuilding years. Because I still think the Sox should be in the middle of their championship window and their championship run, and they should be banging it out every single year and not taking any steps back. Not at this stage. They're not ready for the reset. I wouldn't be.
But without Chris Sale, do you have a championship ceiling next year?
I think you've... Yes.
No.
I do.
I don't see it happening.
Look, I wouldn't make you the favorite.
Right.
But are you in the mix? Yes. You won it without him last year. I hate to break it to you. You won it without him last year.
Yeah, but the team was in a better spot last year. I mean, you had still four starting pitchers you could trot out there.
But this is what I'm saying. I mean, he wasn't essential to your championship. He just wasn't.
But he was essential to getting you there. He was essential to the 108 wins.
If you won 100, you still win the division. What's the diff?
Look at what happens when you essentially didn't have him this year. Because, I mean, for all intents and purposes, you did not have the real Chris Sale this year.
Right.
You're 6.5 out and you're not making the playoffs. All right, you got to get there first. And Chris Sale helped them get there last year. Next year, with the starting pitching that I see on this team right now, they're not a playoff team as presently constructed with just those three guys and, you know, the next Andrew Kashners of the world, because that ain't going to get it done.
We've got Chris in Rockland with an NFL thought here on a reentry Monday. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Ezekiel Elliott, I got to be honest with you. Jerry Jones, he should run for president. I hate Jerry Jones. That's a strong word. But the way he addressed that comment today, Zeke, who, I mean, he controls his future for, 2 years? Zeke's under contract. And the way that this kid's performing in the preseason, the running back there, his name is slipping my mind. But, Zeke better treasure the money he's made, because it might be the last money he's made in the NFL.
Okay, so help me with this.
He's holding, Ezekiel Elliott's holding out from the Dallas Cowboys.
That I know.
Yeah, and apparently on Saturday, Jerry Jones was asked about him and what's going on, if there's been anything with the contract situation. He said, Zeke who?
Because they've got a kid that's performing in the preseason.
Yes. I don't know the name of the kid, but it's not like I've been paying attention to the Cowboys preseason. But, you know, they're rightfully pissed. Ezekiel Elliott's an idiot. Look, I'm obviously pro running back, but he should have learned a lesson with Le'Veon Bell last year. You know, like, he didn't win that. Him holding out, thinking he was going to get the money from the Pittsburgh Steelers, never happened. And he ended up taking essentially less money with the New York Jets this year. He should be back with that team.
So, I mean, you know me. I would not give a running back big money. No way, shape, or form. I wonder if Jerry Jones is that smart. And Dallas, too. It's like, you know, the whole Emmitt Smith thing and the big three. And frankly, how they're built. If any team does need a running back, it's them.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if that quarterback is dependent on a strong running game. I think he might be one of those guys. So, I'm like, I get all that. But the question is, can you get 90, 85% of the production by paying one-tenth of the price? And I know the answer to that is a categorical yes, that you're just as likely, if not more likely, to find a good running back, let's say, I don't know, in the third round, than say, I don't know, at the end of the first round. I don't know who I could be thinking of or talking about. Oh, maybe I do. I'll get to that here in a little bit with more game thoughts on the Patriots. Brian in Springfield says, Felger and Belichick are the same person. Give this to me, Brian.
You absolutely are. I got to call you out on something. You're on your radio station bitching about Belichick not answering the media's questions. And then if somebody calls into your radio station and doesn't, if it has it on speakerphone or just not on a landline, you hang up with them. Oh, they say, hey, how you doing? I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. Blah, 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 blah. You do the same thing as he does.
No, I can be rude.
No. Come on. You are the same freaking person.
No, it's, well, I mean, maybe on some level. I take that as a compliment. Thank you, if that's the case. He's a pretty brilliant guy. Right. I have no patience for bad phones or bad connections or landlines or you talking to me on your Bluetooth. Go F yourself. True.
There is a parallel there when it comes to the hate and grab ass, though. I hadn't really thought about that.
Okay, but
right now,
those questions today were, Bill, were well mic'd. They were on a landline that were germane, legitimate questions. No, he wasn't getting called on a bad cell phone today. So don't. Nice try. Can I be rude? Sure. Fine. Fair enough. Derek in New Hampshire with the Patriots talk. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, guys. I'm not sure if you addressed this yet today, but I just want to comment on Chase Winovich's performance. I just see this kid, he never runs out of energy. He's being held back. He's pushing through. I mean, how many tackles did he have last night? Was it six or seven tackles last night?
He had 7.5 quarterback pressures, according to Bedard. 7.5? And you know what? It makes sense. Like, that number sounds absurd if you watched it. The kid was all over the place.
Yeah, you hear that cliche that some of these scouts and guys will use sometimes. He's got a high motor. This kid's got a high motor. He's all over the place. And everything, he's playing at like 100 miles an hour.
And there was a time he was gassed because I just think he was, you know, it was going so hard every play. But, I mean, he really did do it all. He shed blocks one-on-one. He had speed rushes around the edge. He'd give it a little shoulder tap, go up and under. He pursued plays on the backside. He chased down ball carriers that weren't even his responsibility by a half. And it was like play after play after play. And it's sort of been two straight games he's done this now. So, look, this is my – you asked me about Patriots team thoughts or game thoughts. Through two games, it's clear to me that against backups, you can't block Chase Winovich and you can't cover Jacoby Myers. Now, we'll see what it looks like against starters. But against backups, they pop. You know, they're just superior to the backups, which tells you they're beyond the backup level, which is like a great first sign. I think really needed for this team, too. The young sort of core on this team, what is it? Maybe we're starting to see it. Maybe there's a chance for it here with this draft class. Because those two guys, and not that Myers was drafted, but this rookie class anyway. And the Winovich kid, my God, what did he have for breakfast? More game thoughts with the Patriots and your calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it. 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Drops back the pass, and he's pushed and knocked down by Chase Winovich, who wins the battle on the offensive-defensive line. And there you go. Chase Winovich has his first sack in a Patriots uniform as he absolutely destroyed Tyrell Crosby.
They're chipping Chase Winovich. They're not allowing him to rush now. They have identified as an offense that this guy is a problem.
On third and five, Tannehill pressured, and who's he brought down by?
Chase Winovich.
Chase Winovich is having a first half, to say the least, for the New England Patriots. He's been one of the bright spots. The kid out of Michigan has been dominating tonight.
Roachie and Matt Chatham with the call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub on Saturday night. Just some more game thoughts here. These are just sort of random, no particular order. We just gave you all the Winovich thoughts. I mean, I don't know what he's going to be against starters, but against backups, he's dominant. So he's at least somewhere in between starting level and backup level.
He's a kid you can see making a few plays here and there. If not early in the season, definitely later. As you know, maybe guys get dinged up, he's getting more playing time. He was talked about as one of the best defensive players in college football last year, so it looks like they might have a steal.
So, again, to me, I'll just say the headline again, against backups, you can't block Winovich and you can't cover Jacoby Myers. You know, to the point where Bedard pointed this out, too, you're kind of annoyed seeing Jacoby Myers in the second half. Like, we got to save this guy now. He's a player, so you can't waste him with the scrubs there in the fourth quarter.
When it got to the fourth quarter, I was pissed. I was like, why is he still out there? Now you have to, like, essentially put this kid in bubble wrap because you're kind of thin or there's a lot of question marks at wide receiver.
Next game thought again. No particular order. I don't know why I wrote these down in this order, but I did. Jerod Mayo running the defense. Watching this game, it felt like you had co-defensive coordinators.
Yes, it did.
Mayo and
Steve Belichick.
The kid. Don't you think?
Yeah, it felt like any time that the camera panned on those two, there was a lot of communication going back and forth. Mayo's taking, you know, one headphone off, talking back and forth. It did feel like that was a two-man operation.
So, I don't know what that means. You know, I don't love the kid thing. I just, you know, that's just problematic. I think the kid thing may have gotten in the way of one big game already. I don't know what it does. It's just, it's always trouble when the boss's kid is in the mix. It just, it's something usually happens, right?
Yeah.
So, like,
you're going to listen to me or I'll tell Dad.
Yeah, it's like you can't open up in front of the kid because he'll tell Dad. Or you like, there's just always, Dad, there's just a layer there that, I don't know. I don't know if it does the kid any favors, you know? But, so, you know, we were talking last week about Mayo's the next head coach. He's the next defensive coordinator. He's the next this. He's the next that. I don't, feels like he and Stevie are splitting it there on the sidelines. So we'll see how that goes. Are you kids today with your Twitter shorthand and your texting shorthand? What's that? It's the greater than sign, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Like the greater than sign, like the arrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Through one game.
It's always been that since, like, you know, you learn it in grammar school.
Yeah, but now you guys use it. Like, you actually use it next to your sausage emoji, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damian Harris, greater than sign, Sony Michelle. One game. I like the Harris kid better. And I'm not telling you Michelle sucks or blows. I just think Michelle's the guy. I think Michelle's fine. I think he's good, not great. I think he's Stephen Ridley. From what I saw last year, I don't know what he's. I didn't watch him at Georgia, and you know, people tell me he's got another gear than what he showed last year. So fine, but what Michelle showed last year, I was not impressed. You know,
he sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
I never said that.
He was just good. He was good, not great. And that's, I said, he's from a running backist like me.
He's just a guy. Yeah. He's just another good running back. I mean, he's just another decent running back. Damian Harris. Ooh, one game. McTakey, greater than Sony Michel.
He runs hard.
Oh,
he runs hard. He caught some balls out of the backfield, which Michel couldn't do at all last year. I like this kid a lot.
The receiving game is what popped to me. The receiving game, four catches, four targets, and there were a couple tough catches in there.
Yeah, there were.
He made one where it was sort of behind him, and then he immediately juked out of the tackle and gained 10 yards. I said, Sony Michel hasn't done that in the year plus he's been here. I haven't seen him do that once. And so the receiving game on top of anything, never mind, he does. He does run hard, and he sort of took over. There was a sequence there on that drive that they scored on at the end of the first quarter. You know, these are on successive plays. He gains 8 yards on a pitch around right end. Then they give it right back to him, and he barrels over the left side for 4 yards in the first down. Boom. Then he has that great catch I just mentioned. Breaks a tackle, runs for 10. And that's when, on the very next play, they gave it to him up the middle, and he recognized that great backside.
Great vision.
Backside cut and takes it down to the one. And I said, ooh.
Yeah, it was great. Don't get used to it.
Why not?
Oh, they hate the cutbacks. They're going to beat that out of them. Beadle and I talked about this.
They hate that move?
They don't want their running backs cutting.
Whoa, wait, no.
That's an institutionalized thing.
Really?
Talk to Beadle about this. And we were talking about it in the post game too, because they don't want any of their
recognize
running backs
the hill and go downhill. Like, you can't do that.
They don't want any cuts. Because they don't want the risk of losing yards. They just want, you know, they look at how they beat it out of Sony Michel, because Sony Michel was able to do this at UGA when he was a running back in college, and they beat that out of him. It's an institutionalized thing with the Patriots. They don't want to risk any negative yards.
Oh, that would be too bad.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, anyway, let's see how this plays out. One game, Damien Harris.
Third round.
Greater than Sony Michel, first round. Okay, and tell me if you've heard that before at the running back position. good stuff from our guy Jawan Williams.
Yeah.
He looks good, huh?
Yeah, and he looked iffy in that first game against Detroit, but he, you know, his size looks like, you know, that's really going to factor into his game. He is good.
He broke up that first pass, and that withstand the review, and then he later ripped the ball from with Davis, what's his first name, along the sidelines?
Corey Davis,
a good running, good receiver. So good stuff from Jawan Williams, and his size does stick out. They pointed out on the broadcast many times. Speaking of the him withstanding the challenge on the PI, I'm curious why Bill is not throwing the flags on pass
interference.
Thank you. Why is he not doing it?
The one that ultimately led to Tennessee's first scoring drive, and Zoe was talking about it too. I was like, what, are you saving these? Like, it's the preseason. Now's the time to try it. And the ball was thrown short of the Tennessee wide receiver, and I forget, was it Williams? Either way, it was a play that could have been challenged.
It was close.
Yeah, it was one of these that it could have been a coin flip, so give it a shot. Are you saving these to the regular season? Like, now I feel like it's the time to experiment with it in the preseason.
And it would make no sense. Zoe in the broadcast said something, and I asked Zoe about it in the break, and I guess I misheard it, because I thought Zoe said on the broadcast that, you know, talk to Bill, he said he's not going to challenge these in the preseason. You know, he said something like that when they were going over that play. I'm like, why would he not challenge these in the preseason? And I know what the Patriots fans will say. Well, he's compiling the data, and then he's going to, you know, unleash all of his knowledge when it really matters. To which I'm saying, I mean, of course, what you should be doing is logging all of these reviews on pass interference to see what the threshold is. So why wouldn't you throw your flag and just add to the data? You know, every time you challenge a PI, you get another play to assess how Al Riveron is looking at it. There's no advantage to the Patriots holding back their challenge flags. Is there? Like, what could there possibly be?
No, I don't get it. I don't know. I don't know why you would. I would think you would, like you say, well, you would want to have all the data you could possibly have to look at this, and so you can understand what Riveron is looking at. That ball was well short. I felt he should have given it a shot.
Okay.
He's showing mercy to the fans who don't want to sit there in a preseason game and watch.
Maybe it's that.
Thank you.
You know what?
Yeah. I don't care what your approach is, but if I have to watch one more preseason football review, for the love of God, thank you, Bill.
So
you
are
my hero.
I'll take that. I hope that's what it is, but although I doubt it. I doubt he's doing it for you, McDakey.
No, I don't think he's looking out for me. It worked out nonetheless.
I continue to like Braxton Berrios and root for him. I like
as
him on
returner,
the punt returns.
Yeah,
I think they may have blamed him for the first interception because he didn't get another target after that interception from Hoyer. And they showed a replay. I think he may have rounded off that cut over the middle. And I think Hoyer, i.e. Brady, like they blamed him. And Berrios never saw the ball again the whole game.
Right.
It's like, let's see what the kid can. I like that kid.
What do you think of the kicker, Mike?
My next thing on my list, Bailey. If this guy you're talking about, well, the punter. The punter's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my God, this guy.
We do these post games with Bedard. He's like in a huff. He's like all sweaty talking about in his hang time, 5-6 seconds.
No. His punt on that free kick after the safety.
Oh, nasty.
Oh, my God, that was a bomb. That was a bomb. They have to keep this guy. I want to watch this guy kick. Do you ever get excited about a punter? He rifles the ball. Have you seen this?
Yeah, no, it's pretty impressive.
So this Bailey, I think, has got to be the guy, unless this does tie to the next thing. Has he been the holder for both of Gostkowski's misses?
Nope. No.
It was just this one.
It was Ryan Allen last week, and it was Bailey this time around.
Okay, so
then, no, it's just that the kicker sucks now.
But God forbid you ever get competition for him.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't have that. No, see, because Stephen Gostkowski is one of Bill's boys. Boy. He has missed a couple of chippies in the NFL. One was, what was it last week, 36, and this was a 40?
Midseason form. He's in midseason form. And I just, not that I'm complaining about it anymore because they're winning championships and whatever Bill's doing is working with the kicker. Like, I get it, fine. But I do find it fascinating how he handles him, which is he doesn't get any competition. No matter how much he makes, no matter how old he gets, and no matter how much he struggles. Bill doesn't even bring in another guy.
It's an undeniable fact that Bill Belichick has tried to replace Tom Brady more times than Stephen Gostkowski.
Yes. I mean, think about it. Think about it. And he tries to replace everybody. He's about to ditch the punter for the next best thing, and I don't blame him. I'd keep this Bailey, too. God.
You could have made a case there for a little while in the Super Bowl that Ryan Allen was going to be the MVP of the game, and he's going to replace him.
And Bill went and got at least competition for him and his replacement. Anyone. We've been following it now for 20 years. You get to a certain age, make a certain amount of money, and your play starts to slip. At the very least, you get competition, and more likely than not, you're gone. And Gostkowski doesn't even get a second guy in here.
I don't get it.
Isn't it crazy?
There's competition at fullback. There's like three fullbacks in the league, but there's competition at it. It's ridiculous.
Mason Souza, it's so true. And I'm not asking him to lose his job. I'm not asking for anything. I find it fascinating because it's clear that Bill's worried about something with Gostkowski, about crawling in his head or...
And so maybe that's what it is. He doesn't bring him in any competition because it will, further exacerbate his mental fragility. I don't know.
Okay, real quick.
He didn't look good, though, these first couple of preseason games.
I think Isaiah Wynn was encouraging. Not that I would know. Go read Bedard on Boston Sports Journal. I think he lathered himself with Crisco and just got naked and pleasured himself over Isaiah Wynn's 18 snaps. Seems like it was pretty good. And instead, I'll say again, I still like him. I don't know if he's the guy, but I just like him. I think he had a mediocre game, and then on that last series, he starts on his 1 yard line, trailing in the fourth quarter, 10 minutes left, and he goes 7-for-7 out of the shadow of his own end zone for 79 yards and scored that 3rd-and-12 ball for the win. Was a ballsy throw, and I think
his deep ball is pretty nice.
I think they got something with the kid.
Yeah,
I really do. I like him too. So those are your Patriots game thoughts. What do you got on that? What do you got on the Red Sox and their 5-game winning streak, McCarthy? What do you got on Josh Gordon's reinstatement? What do you got on Chris Sale staring down the barrel of Tommy John and being out for over a year? All those things with the latest here with the update with McCarthy and then your calls.
Sports Hub headlines.
Well, we are still awaiting word on Chris Sale's meeting with Dr. James Andrews in Florida today. That's after Sale was placed on the injured list on Saturday with elbow inflammation. He was set to be joined by Red Sox trainer Brad Pearson at today's appointment. Sox are off tonight. They will open up a 2-game set with the Phillies tomorrow. Also, just minutes ago, Rafael Devers named American League Player of the Week. Patriots were back on the practice field this afternoon in Foxborough as they get ready for the Panthers on Thursday. Julian Edelman was in pads today as he works his way back from his thumb injury. Josh Gordon and Demaryius Thomas were also on the field, but they were not in uniform. Yesterday, the team cut wide receiver Dontrell Inman. He reportedly asked for his release. Antonio Brown returned to Raiders camp today amid the drama over his preferred helmet no longer being allowed by the NFL. And in college football, the AP Top 25 is out. Clemson is the top team in the nation in the preseason poll for the first time in program history. Sports of Headlines are brought to you by Marvin. Tune in on game day for Dan Roach's view of the game as New England takes on Carolina, all brought to you by Marvin. They design windows and doors that help reimagine what the indoors can be. Discover more at marvin.com. I'm Matt McCarthy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. What's this, Marshall Hook? It's going to be taking over in 30 minutes? Yeah, that'll be the case.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Yeah, I wrote this next song for a gal from Cheyenne. Should never have told her how Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats. She said if they could love her pooch as much as she did, then so could I. Well, I couldn't. This next song's called Cat Person. It was a rough, rough night in Wyoming. The cat was out of the bag.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
This is a Bruins game winner.
Marchand, who has 13 overtime winners in his career. Marchand, high slot to Bergeron. Far point now, Marchand, high slot. Feeds it down low, they score! Back-to-back days, overtime wins. Today was Brad Marchand, who fed it down low.
Hear every Bruins game on the flagship station of the Boston Bruins, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sometimes you don't have 4 hours, and that's
okay.
Now, 98.5 The Sports Hub gives you Toucher and Rich in a nutshell.
It's the condensed, melted down, jam-packed version of The Daily Show.
Each day, you can listen to Toucher and Rich in a nutshell on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Now, 20 seconds with Mark Bertrand.
The thing that drew me to sports was probably having a big family with a lot of sports fans in it. And whenever something big was happening, there'd be just these gatherings of people that were really excited about something. And when you have that sort of community among sports fans, it's sort of infectious. So I would say just growing up with it was where it started for me.
Hear more of Beatle with Scott Zolak weekday mornings at 10 on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, 20 seconds with the Sports Hub's Mike Felger.
I grew up in Wisconsin, but my favorite hockey team was the Bruins, and that is just a luck of the draw that I ended up here. But I grew up in Milwaukee. We didn't have a team, so you had to pick one. And I grew up in the 70s, and hell, the Big Bad Bruins were a pretty fun team, so that's the team I latched onto when I was a six-year-old little boy in Wisconsin. And so that's stuck with me this whole way.
Hear more from Mike with Tony Mazz, weekday afternoons at 2 on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is a Patriots game winner.
Second and goal to go from the 2. Toss sweep right for James White. Cuts it up to the right arm. Cuts it upfield. Driving forward. Diving to the goal line.
It's done.
A touchdown. And a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Led by the greatest quarterback.
Hear every Patriots game on the flagship station of the New England Patriots. 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is a taste of Sports Hub Grub with Matt Schaefer.
Let's talk about sandwiches. Brian Poe is chef and owner of Parish Cafe in Boston. The concept, you approach famous Boston chefs and ask them to create a sandwich for your menu.
How can we bring the chef's amazing food back in the day that he invented, to the pedestrian with a beer and eating a sandwich?
You can hear Sports Hub Grub with Matt Schaefer on the podcast page at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, 20 seconds with the Sports Hub's Tony Maserati.
I played baseball as a kid. My father was a huge fan. That had to have rubbed off on me. And then I didn't have a glove or a bat for it, so I wasn't the most skilled guy in the world, but I had a head for it, and I always understood it, so it absolutely absorbed me.
You can hear more from Tony Maserati weekday afternoons at 2 with Mike Felger on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is a Celtics game winner.
Tatum, goal free throws, 105-102, no timeouts for the Pistons. And a throwaway in the inbound, Marcus Smart dives, knocks it loose. Kyrie goes to the floor, comes up with it, and gets fouled by Blake Griffin, and that's how this one is going to end. The inbound got thrown away, and whose nose was right in the middle of it? Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart!
Hear every Celtics game on the flagship station of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now, too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Well, joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. Before I even want to talk about the first half, I do want to bring up Josh Gordon, because you put out a statement earlier today. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Nope.
Not at all?
No, that's why I put out the statement.
Okay. All right. Good luck in the second half.
Even more awkward than usual. Poor Burton. 617-779-0985. Gordon and his reinstatement, one of the items on the table. Also, the Red Sox and Chris Sale again. I feel like Tommy John's coming out today. I'm going to hear he's going to be undergoing Tommy John, and we'll see him to begin spring training in 2021.
And I'm just still holding out hope, because David Price went and saw him. That felt ominous going back a couple of years ago when they were using him out of the bullpen, and ultimately he didn't have to go under the knife. So who knows? It doesn't mean it's necessarily a death sentence just because you got to go see Dr. Andrews. It ain't great, but there's no lock that he has to have surgery.
Okay, we've got that and all of our Patriots items. Dave in North Smithfield on Belichick and challenging PI. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think the most plausible reason why he's not throwing the flag is he doesn't want to let any of his players off the hook for a bad play. He wants to be able to grill them because they messed up and drew a flag.
Okay. Fair enough. That might be a reason.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I'll buy that more than, yeah, he's laying in wait. You know, he's letting the rest of the league flounder around, and then he's going to come off the top rope having figured it out.
You know, it's making them all crazy because they don't know when he's going to use
it. Yeah, but it's like there's no practical advantage from that standpoint. If you throw the flag on some questionable PIs, you add to the list of calls that have been made or not made, and that helps you determine where the line is, where the threshold is, because we all don't know.
Yeah, I feel like you're just setting yourself up to get angry later.
I mean, to me, it's going to be the same, I think. I don't think there's any practical benefit to holding back on, you know, from his end on throwing those flags. So I don't quite get why he hasn't done it. Bob in Needham, but maybe it's, again, for the thing the caller said. He doesn't want to give his players any outs. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, but Michael, do me a favor. You're one of the most brilliant guys in radio. Don't use, with all due respect, I don't want anyone to lose their job or no disrespect intended anymore. Those are the most three cliche things I hear. You do want someone to lose their job. Gostowski should have already lost his job. I can't believe they don't have competition for him. So, and that was my Patriots take. My Red Sox take is they're getting about, I don't know, $19 million with Pablo, $13 million with Pedroia, that Thornburg, and who's the other guy? Smith.
How about
coming off the books?
How about Ruzny Castillo? Oh, well, so I'm sorry. You're saying that bad money coming off the books. Go ahead.
Bad money. No, and that's a great point you just made. The $14 million, people, it doesn't count against the salary cap, but believe it or not, they have to pay him $14 million a year. It comes off the bottom line. It doesn't matter whether it's on the salary cap or not. You don't think they add that in?
Right. So what's your point?
My point is they can go get a number one starter. They have plenty of money to do it after this year. So Seal can go, your producer, whoever it was, Tampa Bay lost the Cy Young Award winner, remember, for most of the year. They have the lowest, one of the lowest payrolls in the league.
So your point is that the financial impact of losing Chris Sale is not big. McCarthy, do you agree with that or disagree with that?
No, it's huge because you're up against the luxury tax, and the problem is you're not Tampa Bay, and you can't develop pitching. They haven't developed a starting pitcher in 10 years. Like, Tampa Bay developed Glasnow. Well, they got him in a trade. They developed Snell. You need to do that too, and the Red Sox have not been able to do that.
Does their payroll loosen up next year, though? Is he right about that? Does Pablo come off? Does all those guys come? Is Castillo still here?
Pablo comes off, but Bogaerts' money goes up next year. So, you know, I mean, they lose some payroll, but it's not, you know, it's not massive.
Okay, in case if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, McCarthy's gone back behind the glass. We have Marshall Hook in our update studio. Hi, Marshall.
Hi.
Hi, no pleasantries. We're just shuffling around a little bit today, so the more the merrier. Justin in Milford on Chris Sale. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, guys. What's going on? So I know the diagnosis hasn't came out yet for Sale, but let's just assume the best and he's cleared to resume pitching next week. At what point are the Red Sox going to give up on him and just sit him for the rest of the season as our playoff hopes start to dwindle?
Okay. What do we think the chances are that Chris Sale is going to be pitching next week?
Oh, that's non-existent. That's not going to happen.
My guess is it's zero. If the thing just showed garden variety inflammation, they saw nothing else, why is he going to James Andrews? What's he going for the second opinion on? If the MRI, they took the MRI, they've looked at the MRI, and if it showed nothing, he wouldn't be going to James Andrews. I think he's port. I think he's done. I do.
And even if he's not, you shut him down or at least stash him in the bullpen if they were to make some kind of run into the postseason.
To me, that's a no-brainer. You're not going to see him this year. But the Tommy John thing is a year plus. And now that impacts your long-term future, that's a major porking. I also think, and it's because I've read into some of the comments that I've heard from these guys. You heard Dombrowski earlier when he was asked point blank, because someone at the press conference on Saturday picked up in his tone that he was optimistic on Chris Sale. And the question was, you seem confident it's not a major injury. And Dombrowski answered by saying, I can't answer that. And yeah, he then sort of sounded just the opposite. How about Alex Cora? This is Alex Cora yesterday talking about Chris Sale going down to see James Andrews. Listen to the tone on Alex Cora. If we could, Mason.
Him and Brad are going to Pensacola tomorrow to see Dr. Andrews. He'll be back Tuesday. I actually just talked to him. You know, he just wants to make sure he has all the facts before he talks to you guys. You know, he wants to see, you know, where we at with it, you know, and what all the opinions that he wants to get, and then he goes from there. It's not that he's hiding from you guys. He just wants to be, you know, straight up and have all the information when he talks to you guys, which I think is fair.
Okay. I don't know. I just hear that tone. I feel like, you know, we're seeing that UCL tear, and he just wants a second opinion on it before we officially shut him down and he announces it. And I don't know. That's just how I'm reading that. That's how
it feels like
to me. It does.
Yeah, at the very least, even if he doesn't have to go under the knife, he's done for 2019.
Oh, what a decision to re-sign this guy. Seriously. And what was the motivation? What was the reason behind it? And we talked about it earlier, and I'll say, you know, I think it's true. I think they're chasing their tail on the John Lester decision, which is obviously not the right rationale to sign a guy going into his 30s to a $30 million a year contract.
And I put that more on John Henry than I actually do Dave Dombrowski, because Henry said as much. That was the decision making behind it when he was sitting at the picnic table at spring training. Like, we didn't want to make the same mistake again with John Lester. They should have just waited. Given his breakdowns these last couple of summers, Chris Sale, they should have waited until after the season to give him that money. There was no rush.
We continue with your calls on everything. It's a reentry Monday, 617-779-0985. Open lines. One of the topics. Example number 18,000. Why you shouldn't draft a running back in the first round. That's next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Time winding down to the first quarter. First and 10 on the 21-yard line. Harris takes it. Right side, 15. Cuts to the right, 10. 5. Near the goal line. Did he get in? No. Down just short at the 1-yard line. But what a run. What a cut by the kid out of Alabama. And the Patriots will have first and goal as time winds down here in the first quarter after a big gain there for New England. In motion comes Kendricks. Sets up right. Pitch right to Harris. Behind Johnson. To the 20. To the 15. To the 10. Inside the 10. Down to the 5. Spins. Gets inside the 5. Nice run by Damian Harris. He's been doing it all night long. Finally pushed out of bounds by Darren Bates, but not before he got inside the 5-yard line where the Patriots will have a first and goal.
I got a new guy, Murray.
And it's a running back of all positions.
Well, you know, but there's an agenda here.
Yeah, of course.
Why draft a running back in the first round when you get just as good talent in the third round? And I know, Jones, you can do that at any position. Not like the running back position. Not like the running back position. There's no other position like that. Maybe there are, like centers. You know, maybe you could draft a, you know, why draft a center in the first round when you get one in the fifth? It's like that. There's a few, there's a running back is one of those positions.
Punters.
Yeah. So, yeah, something like that. To me, certain positions you do have to, and it's not just an opinion. They've done studies on this thing. You know, this is, at certain positions, the higher you draft, the better your success rate. And, you know, and I think pass rushing and cornerback play are two ones that stand out. Corner and pass rusher. Not that you can't get those guys from out of nowhere, because certainly they got.
But more often than not, a defensive end in the first round is going to be better than someone in the third.
They've done the numbers. They've done the studies. It's just the higher you draft, the better you are at that position. And that's the case for most positions, except some positions, it's really foolish to go too high in the draft because history shows there's just as much impact lower as there is higher. Historically, draft after draft, team after team. And Damian Harris and Sony Michel might be the latest example. I saw more out of Damian Harris in one preseason game than I saw in a year with Sony Michel. And not that I hate Michel. I just feel like qualifying this all the time because I'm billed as a Michel hater. I'm not a Michel hater. I'm just a Michel meh-er. Like,
you don't think he sucks and or blows?
I don't think he sucks or blows. I think he is. I think last year, what he gave you last year was pedestrian. Just a guy. Good. Not great. I equate him to Stephen Ridley. The blind Pepsi taste test, Stephen Ridley and Sony Michel's rookie year, I'd say same guy. Except Ridley fumbled and Michel didn't. So
right.
I'd give Michel actually the check mark there. But in terms of gaining yards, making people miss, you know, getting what I want the running back to do, which is catch the ball and make, you know, make yards that aren't there. Those are the two things that sort of stand out to me. They're the same guy, Michel and Stephen Ridley. This Damian Harris showed more as a receiver in one preseason game than Michel has shown in over a year catching the football.
That's for sure. And that was one of the things I think that they're trying. Well, I didn't like from last year that I think they're trying to change based on what I've read about camp is that they're trying to, you know, implement Sony Michel as more of a receiving back this year, because anytime they lined up with him last year, you knew it was a running play.
That's right.
It was something like close to 80% of the snaps. Anytime Sony Michel was back there, it was a handoff. You knew he was getting the ball. So they have to fix that just in terms of predictability, you know?
Damian Harris drafted 87 overall, Sony Michel 31. And not like Sony Michel, at 31, it's still a little high for my liking, but it's not like you're not being stupid and drafting him in the top 10 or something. Like, then we're really getting dumb. 31, you know, what was Lawrence Maroney? He was like 21 or something.
Yeah, something like
that's as high. Really what I want is middle of the second and no higher. Like, that's it. Middle of the second, and that's where I would start with the running back position, somewhere in the 50 range. Is where I would draft him. 31 is a little too high for me, but at least it's not grotesque. But Harris, ooh, there were a couple, man. It's a couple of those catches were high degree of difficulty. His first one diving along the sidelines, which didn't gain any yards, but still just showed his hands. And then the one where he got it behind him and juked and, you know, ditched the guy and gained 10 yards were probably going to be incomplete, you know, for a lot of other guys. That one really stood out to me.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. And, you know, the cut, too, on that run that ultimately was, I think that was the one of the plays that we just played. He looked good. And at the time when he was drafted, when they took him in the third round, I was like, well, I don't get this. There's like a redundancy at that position. You have a lot of running backs. And you drafted Michel first round last year. I thought it had more to do with, you know, insurance for Sony Michel's knee than anything else. But
maybe it still is.
Yeah, but maybe they really saw something with the kid, too, because based on that one night, against pretty good competition, at least better than Detroit, with the Titans, he looked good.
Okay, so there you go. Damian Harris, let's see how he pans out. And Harris, you know, I've already said Harris v. Michel, and that's versus Michel, but I'm just going to give him the greater mark. Harris greater than Michelle, and you know what else? I did one more greater mark just watching this game. Not that you care, but I just wrote it down, so I might as well give it to you. As scary as this is for the Tennessee Titans, Tannehill.
Thank you.
Greater than sign Mariota.
Thank you. And Zoe was pointing this out throughout the night, too. He throws a better ball. Tannehill throws a better ball.
He steps into the thing, at least, and puts it on a line.
Than that Tebow-esque meatball you're getting.
Oh, my God.
Marcus Mariota.
Can Mariota not throw the ball?
I don't know, man. There's no zip on that thing whatsoever.
He's step into it, son. Like, put something on it. He had a couple where he got his guys killed. There was this little slant over the middle. It was just a little flutter ball lollipop. He got the guy killed. Like, would you step into it and throw the ball? My God. Like, that's pretty scary. If your starting quarterback goes to the bench and Ryan Tannehill comes in and looks like he throws a better ball, more complete ball, a more NFL sort of caliber delivery, that's freaking scary if you're the Tennessee Titans. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and apparently I was reading in Ben Volen of the Boston Globe's Sunday football notes. There's no assurance that it's going to be Mariota starting week one. Like, they don't know. There's a real quarterback competition there. Tannehill blows, but at least he can throw a ball that looks like it's being thrown by an NFL quarterback.
A couple more calls. Yeah, Peter, I'm going to jump in line because we were just talking about this. Go ahead. It's your lucky day. What do you got, Peter?
I feel very lucky. I think the Michelle Harris comparison is kind of ridiculous because, you know, listen, I know, Felger, you have this.
I have an agenda.
Theory about, yeah. I know you do, but you know what? Let's see Harris do it against number ones like Michelle did during the regular season, the postseason Super Bowl last year. If Harris can do it, then you know what? I'll agree with your theory. If not, then your theory takes a bit of a hit.
Oh, so my theory's not a theory. But, Peter, thank you for the call. Just read the data. I'll go send out links on Murray's social media page. There's been study after study done about this, about where you draft your running back and what you pay your running back. This is more fact than opinion. It's an opinion I've had for a long time, but the data backs it up. And if you overdraft or overpay at that position, you're asking for trouble. You just are. And that's the data. And, again, I'll just say, Michelle's not like, you know, 31 is not going to kill you. It's not top 10, but it's a little high. It's a little high when there's always a Damian Harris sitting there in the third round at 87 to be had and does more of what you want to do, it feels like to me anyway, in the passing game.
Yeah, I would think if you are taking a guy in the first round, as much as I do like the position, you'd like to see a little bit more flash than you saw from Michelle last year. I'm not expecting Saquon Barkley, who looks, you know, like an absolute stud, but I don't know. I did think it was mostly a pedestrian year for him.
My favorite running back on the field last night, still Damian Lewis, not Damian,
Deion Lewis.
Oh, God. See,
Damian Lewis is a lovely redheaded actor, but, you know, you were close.
They're all disposable razors. They're running backs. I don't need to remember their name. Deion Lewis. He's still my favorite of all of them. Did you see the catch and move he made on Juwan Bentley?
Yes.
He catches it behind his at what thing and spin move in and out. Like, that's a player I love. But they were smart not to pay him. See you later. I'll get the next guy. And when he's done and gets hurt, I'll get the next guy. Disposable razors. That's how you should treat them. I know that sounds cruel. I don't mean to treat them like a toiletry product hook, but that's what running backs are. You use one, it's done, toss them, get the next one, and don't spend too much on them. The Harry's razors, $2 per cartridge, free shipping with the promo code Felger. Like, that's what you should be doing at the running back position. And you watch, Damian Harris will be another example. He'll be the latest example. Why draft at 31 when that thing's sitting there at 87? And he'll be the next reminder of it. All right, we've got Hook in our update studios, the very latest across the world of sports. There's no commercials. We come back at Hook's take on the Chris Sale situation, which I happen to think is dire. That's coming up in 90 seconds, no spots.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
We'll be right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.